Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Good job. Good worship this morning. Awesome. Thank God for it. Amen. Thank Pastor Terry Wilson for praying for Pastor Terry. We just keep him in prayer and thank God for him. Amen. Oh, Lordy. Praise the Lord. How many know God is good, isn't he? Yes, he is. And we're going to, if you would, let's just go to Psalms chapter 8. This morning we're going to be sharing a scripture that God put on my heart. And a lot of the songs that were sung this morning was kind of touching on my message this morning. But how many know God is that way, isn't he? He will confirm, amen, the word of the Lord. If we look at Psalms chapter 8, I'm bad to give a chapter and not give the verse, so I'm trying to be mindful to give you the verse this morning. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, Psalms chapter 8, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 3. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." With glory and honor. "You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet." Father, we thank you so much for your word today, Lord. And God, we just pray, God, as the Holy Spirit expounds on your word, Father, we pray, God, that you would cause the ears of your people to be open. And God, we pray, Lord God, that you get the glory in advance for what's going to take place, Lord. We just thank you right now, Lord, that your presence is filling this place. And God, we pray, God, that the manifest presence of your glory will touch lives and bring transformation. So, Lord, we thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we read the scriptures, and I'm going to kind of go back over just a little bit, and we're going to talk about what is man. What is man? You know, we just sung a song, How He Loves Us. But do you realize that the writer, David, here is writing and he's penning this and he's saying, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained." And then he asked the question, he said, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" And you look at this and you see what David is saying. He's saying, you know, when you look at the stars, the moon, and all your creation, all these things, the magnificence of your power and your glory, all these things that you have created, You know, but then he also breaks down and say, but what is man that you are mindful of him? You know, he didn't say he was mindful of the stars, the moon, and all the galaxy that he had created. But he said, what is man that you are mindful of him? And notice it said, and the son of man that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. Now, when you read this scripture, I mean, you know he's really pertaining to two individuals, and one of them was Adam. And when you think about Adam, when he was in the garden, guess what he was clothed with? Glory and honor. Before the fall, he was clothed with glory and honor. Now, when you look at the word glory, you know, immediately we might go to a spiritual explosion. But what glory really means is to be heavy, to be weighty, to be honored, to have esteem, to show oneself great and mighty, carry a lot of weight. It refers to a soul or a person. Now, when you look at glory and you say, well, if Adam was clothed with glory and honor, how many know Adam had a self-respect or self-esteem about himself? He carried himself as a person that had weight. Why? Because when you look at Adam, how many know he was created in the likeness of God? The Bible said, let us make man into our image and into our likeness. And what God had did to Adam, how many know everything that Adam need, God had given to him. I mean, he gave him authority. He gave him dominion. When you look at Adam, he was the God-man of the garden. Because God gave him permission and he said, do what? Guard it. Protect it. Take care of it. Cultivate it. And God had put all that in Adam. He had showed Adam what to do. And he had told Adam, he said, now you can eat of every tree of the garden, but this one that's in the midst, do not eat of it, lest you die. Right? So, as process went on, the Bible said he clothed him with glory and honor. Notice what it was talking about here. The glory means that he was weighty. He was heavy with the glory of God. He was clothed. He had esteem about himself. He knew his position with God. He had dignity. See, he wasn't going around wondering, who am I? He knew who he was. And he didn't only glory, didn't only say he crowned him with glory, but he said honor. What honor means is respect. He had a respect about himself. Esteem. He had a position with God. And he had this reputation, a representation of who he was. And how many know he was the Son of God in the garden? He had all these things that God had blessed him with, and God told him one day, he said, now, what I want you to do is go ahead and name the animals. And can you imagine, just imagine, had Adam had to call an elephant a mouse. Or he had to call a giraffe a squirrel. That wouldn't have matched, would it? But do you not know that when he gave the animals their name, the characteristics fit them? Why? Because this is a God-man. See? And when David was asking the question, what David was really saying, what is man that you are concerned, that you consider him? But what God had did, God had created this man in his image and in his likeness. And he was just like God, representing in the garden, taking care of the garden and housing everything and having dominion over everything and operating just the way God wanted him to. Enjoying life. Can you imagine him going through the jungle, just having a ball? Just whistling to God and, oh, glorifying God, just praising his hand and just singing in the garden alone with him and just loving God and just worshiping God. Having a great time. Why? Because there was koinonia, there was relationship, there was fellowship. He didn't have to worry about anything. Why? Because God was his covering. Amen. But one day, something happened. And the Bible says, you can eat of every tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day thou eatest thereof, thou wilt surely die. Yes. Thou wilt surely die. And I mean, you know, he didn't die physically at that time, but he died spiritually. But he caused, because he partook of the fruit, he caused physical death. Amen? You say, where are you going with this? Just hold on. We're going to get there. Because when God told him what God really did, how many know God don't want us to be robots? But when God knew what he was doing, how many know that God already knew what was going to happen? But what God did, he put a tree in the garden and he told him, he said, now you can eat of every tree except for this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what God was really doing was, you have to choose here, Adam. I'm not gonna treat you like a robot and have a remote control and control you, but I put this tree in the garden, so now you gotta make a choice not to eat of it. I done told you not to eat of it, but it's up to you to choose, don't do it. See, and a lot of times we ask questions, well, God, why did you let this happen? But how many know God has already set in motion and reproduction of things the way they're going to happen? And what you got to understand, Adam was supposed to be, he was supposed to be a manager of the garden or a steward of the garden. Stewardship. You know, and I look at this as his lordship, but it's our stewardship. See, we got to manage the sphere, what God is giving us, or whatever God has placed us, we got to manage that with the mind of Christ. But when Adam partook of the fruit, he caused what? Spiritual death over all the human race. And the Bible said, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you would visit him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. See, so what David was really saying is, what is man that you are so concerned about him? You know why God was so concerned about us? Because he had a people that he was raising up that would have relationship with him, that would begin to follow him, and that would repeat, amen, what God had told Adam to do, to take care of the garden, to rule and reign. But when man failed, he gave all that authority to Satan. He gave it all up just to do what? Partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Somebody said, well, was it a pear? Was it an apple? All we know, it was a tree, right? But the main thing is this, he disobeyed God. He took his eyes off of God, and he disobeyed God. So when God, when he disobeyed God, God did what they really did then. Instead of them being clothed with the glory and honor, guess what happened? Shame came in. Why? They tried to sew fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. They're no longer, the glory and honor is no longer on them. The recognition of who he was, the position that he held, amen, the esteem that he had about himself, all of that become what? It was shot down in a moment of time of his disobedience. Now man is trying to find esteem. Out of the word self-esteem. Man is trying to find now his position with God. See, when he failed, it put us in a wonder. I'm wondering what it would be like. I'm wondering what it's going to take. I'm wondering, you know, am I good enough? Do I fit? What do people think about me? See, before the fall, he could care less. Why? Because it was in him. He was walking in it. He was living in it. But I'm telling you, when he fell in the garden, he took the human race in a down spiral. And if we're not careful, we're still trying to find our position. Why am I here? What am I here for? What am I doing here? But I got some good news for you this morning. You are here to glorify God. Amen. You are here to praise him. You are here to live for him. See, it's not just about church, but it is a lifestyle. It is a relationship that God has given us, and that what God has restored back to us is what Adam lost in the garden through Jesus Christ. See, that's why he said, what is man that you're mindful of him? That you would consider man. Now, when he talk about man, he's just not talking about gender. But guess what he's talking about? The human race. The human race. The Bible said that God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Verse 17, he gave not his son. The son didn't come to condemn us, but to save us. See, he didn't come to condemn us, but to save us. So when you look at this glory and honor, what Adam was covered with, he knew his position. He had self-esteem. He had value. But when he failed, it caused the human race to go seeking, trying to find value. But look at your neighbor and say, you are valuable. You are valuable. Amen? Now, when we look at this, we have to understand that in the New Testament, that glory was ultimately revealed in Jesus. Now, some people call Jesus, you'll find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it identified Jesus as the second Adam. How many ever read that? Identify him as the second Adam. So what Adam failed to do in the garden, Jesus Christ came and did it for us. Amen? Let's look at St. John chapter 1, verse 14, excuse me. St. John chapter 14. I'm trying to build a foundation to get you to see that what happened in the garden was a tragedy to the human race. And if we're not careful, you know, the damage that took place with sin, you know, try to hold us entrapped. Because sometimes we go around feeling, am I good enough? Even though I'm born again, there's still a, am I good enough? Do they accept me? Do I have self-esteem about myself? Somebody said, well, if you have too much self-esteem, you become pride. But how many know that's not true? If I ask you your name, could you tell me your name?
Yes.
Would that be arrogant? Well, why would it be arrogant for me to identify with who Christ said I am? Come on now. What we have to understand is the Bible said, don't think of yourself too highly. He didn't say don't think of yourself high, but too highly. Other words, there need to be a balance in this, John. Amen? You know, it's a false humility to go around beating yourself up and downing yourself when the Word of God has said that you are more than a conqueror. When the Word of God has already said, if God be for you, who can be against you? When the Word of God says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. When the Word of God says that you are a new creature in Christ. Other words, you are a new species. That's not being arrogant. That's identifying with who I am. See, and the humbleness about that is, I can't do it on my own. It took Christ to do it for me. It's not my faith, but it's his faith. It's not my victory, but it's his victory. But guess what he does? He shares his faith with me. He shares victory with me. Why? Because I am not fighting from a position of defeat, but a position of victory. Amen? So let's look at this. Okay. So if Jesus came to restore what was lost in the garden, watch this. St. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Where's the glory at? Now it's back on who? The second Adam, Jesus. Watch this. Let's look at St. John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his voice to heaven. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Even as you have given him authority over all flesh. See, when Adam lost his authority, guess what? Jesus came to get it back. Right? But you got to understand something. Jesus had to walk this earth like you and I, face the devil head on, and conquer the devil. Now, I know that this might not sound good to some people, but do you realize the devil is defeated? The Bible said Jesus took his authority. He stripped him of his authority, and he doesn't have authority over the children of God. The Word of God says that he has rescued us out of the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Therefore, he stripped the authority of the enemy, and guess what Jesus said? That all power is given into his hand, and he has given it back to you and I to walk in authority. Amen? You gave him authority over all flesh, not just some flesh, all flesh. That to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. This is eternal life. Now we know that eternal life means what? I'm gonna live forever, right? That's what it means. But listen to what he's saying here. Listen to what the Word of God is teaching us. It said, this is eternal life, that they may know who? You. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That word know means to experience God. To experience him to the degree that he becomes your reality. The realness that we experience with God. See, and this is what makes us different or distinguished from any other human being, is that when we experience God, there is something down on the inside of us in our knower that no one can take from us. And this is why that when we go through things, we don't have to come unglued. Why? Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? That's who we are now. But if we're not careful, listen to this. If we're not careful, we will live as a result of wounds in the soul. You say, what do you mean by that? Even though we're born again, even though we've had a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we don't allow God, the Holy Spirit, to begin to heal the soul's wounds, we will still be operating, even though we will shout the victory here and there, we will still be operating under a mentality as woe is me, or poor me, or I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy enough. See, you say, what do you mean here, preacher? See, when we were in sin, how many know we experienced a lot of things? And some things was wounds from our experience by living in a corrupt world. But what Jesus Christ want to do is make us aware of those wounds and heal those wounds so that we would be a complete and a whole person. Why? Because when wounds begin to fester up, they hinder us from accepting the love and the fullness of God that He intended for us to experience. That's why we experience God. And some people say, well, you know, sticks and bones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many know the biggest lie we ever been told? Words will kill you. They will paralyze you. They will cause you to look, you know, to be inferior to other people. That teacher that told you, you'll never amount to anything, so you just start acting out, I'll never amount to anything. How many know those words? Or that person that told you, you can't do this. I remember in the second grade, and we used to have to sing our names. I don't know if y'all remember that. You know, y'all, oh, how old are you, bro? That's all right. Just listen. We used to have to sing our names. And I was shamed because when I sung my name, this other girl that had a beautiful voice, she said, oh, your name, you sound like you got a hiccup. When you sound your name, you sound like you got a hiccup. And I thought, oh, Lord, I can't sing no more. And that thing haunted me until God began to deal with my heart and say, John, that was when you were two, son, but that wound was still there. I was so hurt and embarrassed to where I didn't want to sing in public. Now, I get in the shower, I sing like I want to sing, right? But that thing had hindered me from being a whole person. I was born again, living and loving God. But you know, when I get around people, I get tensed up. I didn't know what was going on. But then the Holy Spirit began to shine light and took me back to that classroom. And it began to let me know, John, that's who they said you were. But this is who I'm telling you you are. You are a worshiper. You are a praise unto me, son. But that thing had me bound. To where I was loving God, I was living for God. But sometimes our wounds get in the way, and that's what Jesus said. He was what? He was bruised for what? Our transgression. And guess what? Guess what? He was bruised for me to be healed from that particular thing. See? And when God began to make, see, his aim is not to give you a big hallelujah, but his aim is to make you whole. Yes, yes. You say, well, I'm already whole. Spirit-wise, we are. Yes. But how many know the soul is progressively being saved? Yes. James said that it's being saved by the engrafted word of God, which lives and abideth forever. That's what we're being saved by. Our new identity in Christ is found in the scriptures. And how many know that's what we have to build our life on? Yes. Do you know this right here is never going to be satisfied? Amen. Okay. But notice what he said, that this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And see, what he was given to do in 1 John, I think it's the third chapter, where it says, and this was the purpose that the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, another translation said this way, he was manifested that he will undo everything the devil has done to us. And guess what? He's still undoing some stuff. Amen? He's still undoing some stuff. And you say, well, I don't understand why I feel this way. How many know that when you begin to be aware of why you feel the way you do, you can do something about it? Amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit want to do. He want to make us aware of those things so that we can allow the Holy Spirit to begin to minister healing to us. Remember, Jesus said, I come that to heal the sick, to cast out. All these things that Jesus came to do was for humanity to be whole and be complete within him. That's what he was doing. See, and it's a relationship. Well, see, he don't want us to just get a little bit here and a little bit there, but he want to continue working in us and causing us to be transformed and be transformed on the inside to where our inside begin to affect the outside. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So, when we look at this, let's look at Hebrews. I'm coming in now. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at Hebrews chapter. Maybe I need to stand on this side, I guess. I don't know. Hebrews chapter 2. You're going to hear the same thing that we read in Psalm, but it's a little bit more depth here, okay? He says in Hebrews 2, beginning at verse 5, for he did not subject to angels the world to come concerning which we are speaking. But one has testified somewhere saying, he said that in Psalms, somewhere saying, what is man that you are mindful, that you remember him? Or the son of man that you are concerned about him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have appointed him over the works of your hands. And he completed those works, right? He finished the work. For you have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in subjecting all things to him, he left nothing that is not subject to him. But now we do not see all things subject to him. But we do see him who was made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. How many know Jesus recaptured the glory and the honor that Adam lost in the garden? It's put back on him. Let's go a little further. So that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. See, Jesus tasted death. What death did he taste? He tasted that spiritual death that Adam had brought into the world. What Adam had introduced, Jesus tasted that death by suffering on the cross, going to that cross and being nailed to that cross and being put in a tomb and being raised the third day with all power in his hand. Amen. The crucifixion gave us a way back to the glory and the honor that we lost in the garden. He made a way back. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the way back to what you lost in the garden. I'm bringing it all back to you. What I had in plan for you in the garden, I'm making it available for you today if you would just receive it. I'm making it available. Why? Because I took your place. The Bible said, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We have been justified by faith. Amen. Now we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies anymore if you've been born again. Why? Because we've been declared righteous. We've been declared innocent. Why? By the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is still just as real and wet as it was when he dripped on the cross. Amen. That blood is the only thing that can cause humanity to be complete in God. I don't care if you try drugs, sex, all these things. It will not complete you. It's only the blood of Jesus. Amen. That will bring completion and satisfaction to my soul. Amen. Nothing else would do it. What else can cleanse my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. And I'm falling in love with him. I'm not doing it out of duty. I'm not doing it out of a blessing. I'm doing it out of relationship. Amen. It's not a works, amen, that we have to perform. We have to believe. It's already done. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And I ordain you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit shall remain. Oh, yes. See, we're trying to work for something that we don't have to work for. See, Jesus came and did it all for us. And all we have to do now is believe what he did for us. I don't have to work. I don't have to toil. Amen. I can rest. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Amen. I can rest in him. Why? Because he's already did it for me. He's already did it for you. You said, Pastor John, I don't understand. I just can't get free. What you need to do, amen, is become honest with yourself and with God and begin to be honest before him and begin to confess it to him and begin to pray and ask God. And I guarantee you, God will set you free. Why? Because that's what he come to do. He don't want us in bondage. He wants us free. The Bible said, whom the Son made free, he's free indeed. Amen. It is the truth that makes us free. It's not all this other stuff the world is trying to give us. Amen. All this stuff, I tell you. You know, whoo, Jesus. I'm not against doctors. Amen. Thank God for them. You know, but I'm telling you, they got a pill for everything. I mean, a pill to go to sleep, a pill to wake up. Amen. Let me tell you something. Your beloved gives you rest. Amen. You just need to get in the presence of God and love on him. You know, I went to the doctor. I had a thing in my back hurting and all that. Thank God I went because I didn't realize some stuff was going on with me. But, you know, I told that woman, she said, well, here we are again. I said, I'm tired of y'all vampires. Every time I turn around, you know, y'all want to take some blood. I said, I'm ready to go home. She said, well, Mr. Mitchell, you got to do this. I ain't got to do all that. You know, I'm telling you. You know, I was ready to go home. That one nurse, she said, we're going to get you out of here. I said, well, thank you. They was trying to tell me, you got to have a pill. You got to have it. Thank God for medicine, but come on. I don't like it. I just don't like it. You know, they was trying to dope me up, and I said, my Jesus. I told Fair, they got a pill for everything. I mean, you know, whew, Jesus. Oh, Lord, how did I get on that subject? I don't know. Oh, Lord, but he suffered for us. Because of his suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Say, and there is a knowing now. You know, it's okay for me to tell you how great you are and you believe it. That's okay. But there's no power in that. It's when you believe what God has did for you. It's when you believe that you're more than a conqueror. It's when you believe that you're above and not beneath. It's when you believe that you're a new creature in Christ and old things are passed away. It's when you believe that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. It's when you believe that that gives power to it. And that's why the devil don't want us to change our belief system. He want to keep us in that old way of thinking. But how many know Jesus come to give us a new system? And the new system is called the kingdom of God that we operate out of. I said, if you can believe it, you can achieve it. Amen? Well, you know, that's too much like the world, you know. That's what they say. Well, they just took it from us. We ain't using it, so they gonna use it. But we need to redeem the times. We need to redeem those things back to us. Why? Because Jesus paid for it. Yeah. Amen? He paid for us to be free. He paid for us to be joyous. Yeah. I'm not ashamed of this. You know why? Because Paul said it is the power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. My deliverance lies in the power of God, in the word of God, in this gospel of Jesus Christ. That's where your deliverance is at. Your new identity is in Christ. I don't care what the world has labeled you to be. I don't care what you've went through. I don't care how many times you fail. Amen. You get up, amen, and begin to believe the word of God. Amen. Because God is able to help you to stand. Amen. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can think or imagine according to the power that works in me. It is the power of God, amen, that's at work in us. It's not of this old flesh. Hallelujah. It is a good work. My favorite scripture, what Paul said, I am confident of this very thing. He which have begun a good work in you, John, is going to complete that work. For it is Christ who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Any good thing that come out of me, it's because God has put it in me. Amen. It ain't my own. It's because he put it in me. And I'm enjoying it. Hallelujah. I'm just thanking God, amen, that I don't have to worry about those old things. Why? Because he makes all things new. Oh, my goodness. Whoa. Hallelujah. He makes it all new. I don't care what they label you as, amen. You are a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I press forward, amen, to the high call of God, which is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Forgetting those things. Hallelujah. Ain't got no past. It's been whited out by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. My Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me. I'm getting a little excited here. Woo! I feel some churning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm a new man in Christ. All things have passed away. I'm forgetting those things. I'm pressing on, amen, to that upward call of God. I want to know him, amen, not just to know him, but I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection, amen. We want the power, but we don't want to die for it, amen. But how many know the only way you're going to get the power is you got to die to it, amen. No resurrection without dying. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. I'm redeemed. Hallelujah. I've been bought by a price, and I'm not letting it go. Just because a little heartaches and a little hiccups and a little things going here, I'm not letting it go. Why? Because I know there's something greater. Amen. If I just keep pressing in, there's something greater. I'm going to be somebody that I've never been before. Why? Because he's changing me. The more I press in, the more I press in, the more I press into him, the more he conforms me into his image, the more he changes me, the more he gives me a desire for him, the more the joy begins to bubble up, the more the peace I have in the midst of this old corrupt world. Hallelujah. I tell you, God is great and he's mighty. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He makes all things new. He makes it all new. Amen. He told me, in the world, John, you're going to have some tribulation. But be of good cheer, son. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. Amen. The overcomer is in me. Amen. The devil, you're too late now to lie to me. I'm not a failure. Amen. Amen. I'm one that's done got up and escaped your hand. Amen. And I know that you don't have power to pull me back in. The only power that you have is what I give you. Amen. But I'm telling you that God is great on the inside of us. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, man, you sure all that stuff is true? You just try it. Hallelujah. You just try it. I dare you to try it. I dare you to try it. Amen. I dare you to fast and pray. I dare you to get in the Word for 21 days nonstop and watch what, hallelujah, watch what happened. Glory to God. Watch what happened. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Somebody said he just like dynamite. Amen. He blows up everything. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He explode and blow up all that doubt and that confusion. Ah, let me settle down here. It's time. Hallelujah. I'm getting beside myself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But it's out now. I ain't taking it back. Hallelujah. It's out. It's out now. Hallelujah. It's about to happen. Glory to God. Ain't it, Brother Stephen? It's about to happen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, well, well. He's giving it all back to us. That shame's got to go. That doubt got to go. Amen. That inferiority complex got to go. Why? Because there's greater things for us, church. Amen. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of this earth. Amen. God is looking for us to step up. Amen. To begin to be who he created us to be. Amen. We don't need to keep relying on, well, you know, I had this kind of experience. I had that kind. I come from this kind of family. But you're in a new family now. Hallelujah. You're in a new family now. You're in a family that love you. You're in a family that appreciate you. You're in a family that tell you you're an awesome being. Glory to God. You're one of a kind. God designed right from his mind. Amen. You're my brother. You're my sister. We're in this together. And we're going to make it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yes. The enemy might say, oh, we'll wait and see. But that's all right. Remember what happened on Calvary. Remember the third day. Remember the time you thought you had him. But how many know that same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within us? That same spirit resonates with on the inside of us. And that's what makes us different from everybody else. Amen? We're not trying to be proud and arrogant. We're just happy of a daddy that cared for us. A daddy that loves us. A daddy that won't abuse us. A daddy that won't put us down, glory to God. But he will lift us up. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus Christ. A daddy that will love me. A daddy that will take time to just have fun with me. Glory to God. You're saying, well, it ain't only you, but I'm just claiming my part, honey. That's all. I'm just getting my part. Amen. You got to get yours. I'm getting mine. Hallelujah. And guess what? It's enough for him to go around. Glory to God. Time and time again, it's enough to go around. You don't have to get jealous. You don't have to get upset. All you got to do is just spend time with him. Just get in his presence. Amen. And I'm telling you, he'll blow your mind. You'll come out wondering, what happened to me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's time. My time is up. but his time is always. Amen. His time is always. I just want to pray for you today. If you've been struggling with some things and you just feel like, John, I just don't know. I just can't shake it. Amen. It's nothing to be embarrassed about. Amen. How many know sometimes we make an altar call and we say, well, I don't want people to know my business. Amen. How many know if you was drowning, you wouldn't care who stuck their hand out to pull you up. You just won't want to drown, right? So that's the way you got to look at this. If you've been struggling, amen, if you've had some hardships, we just want to pray for you. If some of our elders would come around, you know, if we have enough of them here, you guys come on up. We're going to pray and we're going to dismiss. But if you need prayer today, let these elders pray for you. We'll pray for you, you know, because I'm telling you, God don't want you to go away the way you came. Amen. He want to lighten that load. Amen. How many know his yoke is easy and his burden is light? Amen. And that's what he want to do. So if you need prayer today, Pastor Charlie, I appreciate you coming, brother. But will you don't mind play for us? Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Amen. So if you need prayer, just come on and let us pray for you. Amen. We're not here to embarrass you. We're not here to condemn you. How many know there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus? There is no condemnation to you. Amen. So we don't condemn. We just want to help you. We want to pray for you. We want to agree with you. Amen. So if you need prayer today, just come on up and get prayed for. You say, well, I don't want people to know where I am. We ain't asking you to tell us where you are. Amen. Just let us know if you need prayer. We'll definitely want to pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you, Rachel.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.